Tennessee gets a 4 seed in the NCAA tournaments in the East region, and its draw is really, really difficult. This is going to be a challenge for Tennessee. We'll talk about it here on a Monday show.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, good people? Welcome into it. Another week here of Locked On Vols. I am Eric Kane, your host here at Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with me today and following us at Locked On Vols on Twitter and at underscore Kaner. Thanks for making it your first listen each and every day and for subscribing and watching on YouTube. Got a fun show today. Tennessee, a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. Our thoughts on that, our thoughts on Tennessee's draw, the brackets overall, Tennessee in the SEC tournament, and then a look at spring practice that's coming up later in the show. But a fun show to get into today, so we're not going to waste a whole lot of time, but I do want to remind you about Twitter Tuesday. That is coming up on tomorrow's show. Any questions you guys have, at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols, go ahead and get those in. All right, so Tennessee is a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. It's the East region. We'll be paired up with 13th-seeded Louisiana, and that game is going to be happening sometime on Thursday. I don't, at the time of this recording, I don't have the time in front of me for the game on Thursday, but that game will happen on Thursday in Orlando, Florida. Jay Wright on the CBS Selection Sunday telecast already calling for the upset, Louisiana over Tennessee, that 13-4 matchup. Typically, fours take care of 13s. Some of the reaction from the selection committee, or at least from the selection show, was Tennessee's overseeded because, of course, you had that big injury to Zakai Ziegler. And it's sometimes hard to kind of argue that right now. If you want to take into consideration that Tennessee in football should have continued. Now, again, it lost to Columbia. It lost to South Carolina, so it's not like it would matter. But if Tennessee still should have been viewed as the same team moving forward, even without Hendon Hooker, then you can't be viewed. Then you can't be on the side of, well, Tennessee should still be super highly ranked and seeded, even though it doesn't have Zakai Ziegler. It's kind of the same argument, if you will. But again, the football thing didn't matter because Tennessee lost to South Carolina, and so it was not going to make the college football playoffs. But nonetheless, Tennessee has a good resume. Tennessee has done well against quad one games. It did not so well in quad two games, but did, you know, what it was supposed to in quad three and quad four. It's high in the net. It's good. It's a great defensive team still. And so Tennessee got the benefit of the doubt and still, you know, one of those higher seeded teams. In fact, the second highest seeded team from the Southeastern Conference. And it got that 4 seed to the East region. But that East region is not doing Tennessee any favors. Again, you've got the first seed, you got the first round matchup on Thursday, 4-13 Tennessee, Louisiana. If Tennessee wins that one, which it should, it's going to move on and likely play Duke, who is the 5th seed and who just won the ACC tournament. Duke overall, I wouldn't call them a super scary team this year in first year under John Shire as head coach. However, Duke is arguably playing better than anybody in the country right now the last 2 weeks. And again, just won the ACC tournament championship. That is going to be an extremely tough matchup in round two, the round of 32, if Tennessee advances on, which, again, it should, to take on the Blue Devils down there in Orlando, Florida. If Tennessee is able to advance on to the Sweet 16, well, then you likely have number 1 seed Purdue, who you're going to be going up against. It's a tough draw. Marquette's the 2 seed in the East. You've got Memphis in there as an 8 seed. You've got, again, Duke as a 5 seed. You've got Kentucky as a 6 seed. You've got Kansas State as a 3 seed. I mean, this is a tough little region here. It really is. And I understand there's always complaints about how Tennessee doesn't go deep into the tournaments, and deservedly so and rightfully so. I hear you. But I mean, in my humble opinion here on a Monday after the selection show Sunday, after watching the SEC tournament and watching a full season, a full regular season of Tennessee basketball, where this team is at right now, I just feel like it's not positioned to make a deep run. That's just my thoughts. Now, can it? It absolutely can, because it's the best defensive team in the country. It is. However, you lost your impact player, great perimeter defender, and of course a guy who can actually create his own shot in Zakai Ziegler. You still have some guys who can score, don't get me wrong. Santiago Vesky is one of the best scorers in the SEC. Of course, first team all SEC guy. You got Josiah Jordan James, who when he's on, he's dangerous. Look at the second round game and their third round, whatever. Tennessee's Thursday matchup against Ole Miss in the SEC tournament. I mean, that's just one example of when Josiah Jordan James is on, he's difficult. Olivier Kilmwall can be a force to reckon with, but that's very, very few and far between. Tyreek Hill can go out there and silently get you double figures, but that's very few and far between. My point is, from an offensive standpoint, creating your own shot and having the offensive fortitude to stay in games like this for tournament's stability, it's kind of difficult here. And Tennessee's region didn't really help him out, didn't really help out this ball club. And so who knows, though? I mean, again, this is the NCAA tournament. They call it March Madness for a reason. And so I'm intrigued to see how Tennessee stacks up against Louisiana on Thursday, likely going on and playing Duke in the second round. That'll be on Saturday. And then going and playing Purdue potentially in the Sweet 16. I mean, that should be exciting. Don't get me wrong, but this is a very, very tough region in my opinion. Now, we talk about how the SEC's down this year. I mean, it was there's a lot of teams who are good teams, and this is very evident by the SEC and the Big Ten tying for the most teams from a power conference in the field of play. 8 teams from the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten are going on and made the field of play in the NCAA tournament. Alabama was the number one overall seed, cut and dry. We knew that was going to happen, especially the way that ran through everybody in the SEC tournament. However, as we'll make a point here in a moment, and as we remember last year, the SEC tournament really just doesn't matter, does it? It just doesn't. Tennessee's the second team from the SEC, a 4 seed in the East region. Kentucky's the 3rd team from the SEC, a 6 seed in the East region. A&M. Texas A&M, who finished 2nd in the league this year, who came up short in the tournament championship game, who had a fantastic conference slate, is a 7th seed in the Midwest region. We knew that non-conference schedule was going to come back to bottom. They had some tough losses in non-conference play, so it's not totally a surprise, but A&M should have been maybe a 6, maybe even a 5 potentially, but A&M is a 7th seed in the Midwest region. Missouri gets in there as a 7th seed in the South region. Arkansas, a team very talented and a team that can make some noise in March, in my opinion, now healthy, is a team that's 8th seeded in the West region. Auburn gets in the Midwest region as a 9 seed. Mississippi State's got that 11th seed in the Midwest, and there's no Vanderbilt here. Should Vanderbilt have made the field of play? That's for you to decide. For me, they were 11-10 at one point, or 10-11, or 10-12, whatever the case was. They were very, very bad midway through their season. Very bad. Now, they rebounded. I think Jerry Stackhouse did a really good job. Of course, he was co-coach of the year, all right? And they made it. They had a big win in the conference tournament. They had a big win over Kentucky. But hey, again, perfect example, the tournaments don't matter. They definitely don't matter, especially if you start your, if you have those double buys on into Friday. It doesn't matter whatsoever. Vanderbilt's win against Kentucky on Friday night doesn't matter. They don't care. Just another example here. So, overall, yeah, what do you think? The 1 seeds, I'm not going in order they were announced, but Purdue's the 1 seed in the East. Kansas, a 1 seed in the West. Tennessee beat them. Houston, a 1 seed in the Midwest. And Alabama, the top overall seed, is the 1 seed in the South. You look at the 2 seeds, Arizona, who Tennessee played and came up short against, the 2 seed in the South. In the Midwest, the 2 seed is Texas, who Tennessee beat. In the East, the 2 seed is Marquette. UCLA, the 2 seed in the West. Kind of overall thoughts on this brackets. Again, at the time of this recording, it's pretty fresh and new on the mind, so we'll learn more about the bracket the more we kind of dive into it, examine it, and kind of go over those matchups as the week goes on. But I just, at first glance, I think this is tough for Tennessee. I really, really do. Going up against Louisiana, who Tennessee should be, but probably playing Duke in the second round. If gets by Duke, probably playing Purdue in the Sweet 16. Going to be tough sledding. But hey, they call it madness for a reason, right? Brackets are bursted. You fill out 10 brackets, none of them will be perfect. It's always frustrating, but hey, that's why we love it, right? That's why we watch, and that's why we consume this time of the year. Gotta love it. And then, of course, you got spring football that starts next week as well. So looking forward to that. Tennessee, a 4 seed in the East region, will take on 13th seeded Louisiana in Orlando on Thursday. If Tennessee wins, likely will play Duke on Saturday. Again, that game still taking place in Orlando. What do you think? 4 seed. Good spot. Good draw for Tennessee. Let me know your thoughts. Throw them in there for a little mailbag edition Twitter Tuesday. That's coming up on tomorrow's show. Go ahead and hit me up at _Kaner. And as always, at Locked On Vols. Real quick before we shift gears, going into Selection Sunday, Tennessee was number 4 in the net rankings. 7-7 record in Quad 1 games. 3-3 record in Quad 2 games. 6-0 in Quad 3 games, 7-0 in Quad 4 games. Tennessee had 18 wins in its first 20 games. climbing as high as number 2 in the overall rankings. Really an exclamation point there with Texas and the Big 12 SEC Challenge as well. But entering the NCAA tournament with a 5-7 record in the last 13 games, including, however, a 79-71 loss to Missouri Friday in the quarterfinal round of the SEC tournament. Tennessee has been a number 3 seed twice before. And, of course, Tennessee has been a number 4 seed 3 times. 1981, let's see, back when the tournament had 48 teams, number 5 seed VCU, it beat number 5 seed VCU 58-56 in overtime, and then lost to number 1 seed Virginia 62-48 in the second round. In 1999, Tennessee was a 4 seed as well, beat number 13, somebody. I'm reading an article over here. Somebody forgot to put the team there. And it's been a 4 seed 3 times previously. So this will be the fourth. It's been a 4th seed 3 times previously. So this will be the 5th time that Tennessee has been a 4 seed overall. Tennessee has been in the NCAA tournament 24 times in program history, a 23-25 record. Rick Barnes is 25-26 in 26 previous trips to the NCAA tournament. March Madness is here. Can't freaking wait for that, and I know you can't either. We'll look back at Tennessee in the SEC tournament when we come back right here on Locked On Vols. But hey, Built March Madness bracket, it's here. We know you have a favorite bar or pub, and now it's your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know I'll be voting for that Cookies and Cream bar. And if you want the Vols to win, it's game coming up on Thursday, you're going to be voting for that bar as well. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. Man, that'd be pretty sweet right there. You've got to try Built. It's the best protein bar ever. Seriously, amazing taste. Not sacrificing taste for healthy either. What makes Built bars or puffs so good? Well, for starters, 100% real chocolate. That's right. It is real, real chocolate. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories. So I want you to run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. All right, guys, welcome back into your Monday show. This is Locked On Vols, and I want to encourage you to grab your bracket and go listen to the Locked On College Basketball Bracket Breakdown. With national analysis and insights from our local experts, Locked On College Basketball Bracket Breakdown has everything you need to make the most informed decisions on your bracket. Find the episode on Locked On College Basketball wherever you find your podcast, and as always, of course, it is on YouTube as well. I'm Eric Kane, host of Locked On Vols, talking Tennessee and the NCAA tournament. Of course, that was the primary discussion in segment number one. We're going to look at Tennessee and the SEC tournaments and the SEC tournament overall from this past weekend here in segment two, and then a little spring football coming up in segment number three. You know, thought basketball was kind of the main story here on a Monday, and that's kind of what you guys wanted to hear about first. So we'll put football, still have it, but football is going to be in the third segment here. All right, and a reminder, Twitter Tuesday, get in those mailbag questions for tomorrow's show. Anywhere you find your, you can find me, that's on Twitter, that's on YouTube, at Locked On Vols and at underscore Caner. All right, so Tennessee in the SEC tournament. Of course, it took down Ole Miss on Thursday, and we discussed that here on Locked On Vols. It was a really, really good show, and Josiah Jordan James showed up. He had that three-pointer working. Santiago Vescovi didn't shoot the ball awfully well, but Tennessee was able to out-rebound and just out-bully, essentially, an Ole Miss team, and was the fifth seed in the SEC tournament, which was uncharacteristic of a Rick Barnes coach basketball team here at the University of Tennessee. But it did handle business on Thursday. And for the most part, it looked like it was handling business on Friday in the early going. Tennessee's smothering defense was about all Missouri could handle. Tennessee was breaking away, getting fast break points, really doing well here in the early going against Missouri. But, of course, ended up falling 79-71. It was the fourth-seeded Missouri Tigers taking down the fifth-seeded Tennessee Volunteers in the quarterfinals. This was the second game on Friday. And, you know, Jemai Mashak, I thought, stepped up and played super well for Tennessee. He had 9 points at halftime. He and Santiago Vescovi were really kind of leading the ball club there in terms of scoring for Tennessee in the first half. And you saw that first half score, you know, favor, I think it was, Shoot, I don't have it right here on the box score. I think that halftime score was what, tied, or it was just a 1 or 2 point game? Oh, there it is. Tennessee was actually ahead by three. That's right. Tennessee was ahead by three and then was outscored in the second half 49-38. Jemai Machak was charged with being the primary ball handler all the time because you had Josiah Jordan James, who was in early foul trouble. That technical did not help him early on, big time. He had to go to the bench, and I believe he only played 9 minutes in the first half, or maybe 7 minutes in the first half. It wasn't an awful lot of time. But in this game overall, I mean, Tennessee shot okay from the field. It wasn't fantastic. It was 46% in the first half, 42% in the second half, 44% overall. Made 10 three-pointers, 10 of 26. And it was Vescovy who shot the ball better on a Friday compared to a Thursday that kind of led the team with 17 points on 5 of 10 shooting. And then Jemai Machak with 14 points, 4 assists, and a couple of rebounds as well. Thought Olivier Cumwah stepped up. I understand Tennessee, this was a losing effort. But when you talk about Olivier Cumwah, and a lot of the times, you know, he kind of gets bullied in the boards a little bit. Or, in my opinion, and maybe this is unfair, but in my opinion, I think it's a lack of effort at times in terms of just trying to get some rebounds. He'll have one rebound in the span of two games. He had one rebound against Auburn to end the regular season this time last week. And it's like, what are you doing, man, right? Well, he had 9 boards in the first half, or 8 boards in the first half. Finished with 10 rebounds overall for a double-double effort. I thought his effort in that regard in 26 minutes on the court was really, really good. 10 rebounds, 11 points, 2 assists for Olivier Cumwah in one of his better games of the season. And then you had 10 points from Julian Phillips as well. Julian Phillips, 3 of 7 shooting from the field. He had 8 rebounds. That's a good rebounding game for Julian Phillips, with Tyree Key coming in and playing a key role, shooting the ball very well, making 7 of 12 baskets for 16 points. But again, it was kind of that same story for Tennessee towards the end of the game. Jemai Machak does foul out, but it's just a little too late, and Tennessee can't find enough offense to really try to keep pace and put pressure on Missouri there towards the very end. So Tennessee bowed out of the SEC tournaments in technically its second game, but in the third round, it was the quarterfinal round. And you look at the bracket from there on out, and Missouri went on to play Alabama the next day and, you know, lost by 11 points. Alabama absolutely cruised in this SEC tournament. And obviously, they were a solidified number one team to begin with, right? A number one seed, excuse me. But so it didn't really matter kind of what they did in the SEC tournament, in my opinion. They could have lost on Friday and still been a number one seed. But nonetheless, cruised through this SEC tournament 72-49 in its opener on Friday night against Mississippi State. Got a buddy. We were talking about it on Friday. Said, hey, took Mississippi State on money line. It was going to go one or two ways. Boy, did it not go his way. 72-49 Alabama over Mississippi State. Beat Missouri by 11 points at 72-61, and then it really handled Texas A&M on Sunday in the championship game, winning by 19 points, but leading by more than 20 points at times in that ball game. Texas A&M and Arkansas really had an ugly ending there, didn't it? And, you know, walking off the court and a support staffer taking the phone and throwing it on the ground, saw the video. And then what was really hilarious was the Arkansas athletic director coming out and saying that he spoke with the member who did that, the support staff guy, and saying that he believed that there was no malicious intent. But, buddy, there's video out there from the camera that he threw on the ground. Just baffles me how people in prominent roles, presidents, CEOs of companies, bosses, maybe your boss, maybe mine, I'm not talking about my boss, but maybe your boss, just people who get in these prominent roles that make money and have leadership decisions and have a lot of sway in their words, yet come out and say things that are just so stupid. And so I just thought it was hilarious. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you know, just go on Google, type Arkansas basketball coach throws phone or something, and it was just, it's just hilarious. But again, like, the bigger issue here is the Arkansas AD coming out there and saying there was no malicious intent, just making himself look like a complete idiot. Vanderbilt took down Kentucky on Friday night. That was fun. 82-73. Jerry Stackhouse is, you know, obviously the co-SEC coach of the year, according to the coaches who vote on that, along with Buzz Peterson of A&M, and, you know, made a trip into Saturday's play as a sixth seed. Now, they fell by 12 to Texas A&M in the semis, but how about that? Vanderbilt, a pretty decent showing there. But overall, it was Tennessee taking care of Ole Miss on Thursday, 70-55, in a game that was really never that close. and then it was falling to Missouri, running out of juice left, just still trying to figure out how to play without Zakai Ziegler. I think it was good that Tennessee got a chance to play on Thursday because, I mean, sure, Tennessee could have won on Friday maybe, but it was always going to be Tennessee-Missouri regardless, right? But they did get an extra game to try to figure some things out, and now, hey, it's on to the NCAA tournament, so that's what we have to look forward to there. But Tennessee, after winning its first Southeastern Conference tournament championship in 43 years a season ago, bounds out on Friday night to Missouri 79-71, and now it is officially March Madness time. It is tournament time, and we look forward to checking that out and talking about it all right here on Locked On Vols. Hey, when we return, we're going to take a look at spring football practice. That is going to begin next week. We're going to break down, we're continuing to break down each position group. We'll discuss the quarterbacks. That is when Locked On Vols returns. But hey, we are midway point, a little over midway point of the NBA season. Of course, obviously, we're now in here to the NCAA tournament time. It's the perfect time to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's America's number one sportsbook because new customers get no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to the point scores or even three-pointers drain, right? You can go with the spread, the money line, the total, the over, the under. You can go individual player props such as points, rebounds, assists. You can also get more exclusive bets like two three-pointers scored in the first 3 minutes or maybe three rebounds in the first 6 minutes. Whatever that case may be, you can find those different combinations for prop bets, spread, totals, money line, all that and more. That is at FanDuel Sportsbook. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same-game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. That's when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, guys, a final segment left here this Monday edition of Locked On Vols. Every single day, 30 minutes, maybe a minute or two more. I'm not going to lie, I'm typically over that 30-minute mark, and I shouldn't be, but it's right here on the YouTube channel. Please subscribe, like this video. Let's build this channel. We've been kind of stuck at 6,300 for a little while, so like 6,000, you know, 300-some-odd subs or whatever. Let's continue to grow. Let's get up to 7K by at least here in the next 2 months or so. Appreciate your help there. And we got Twitter Tuesday coming up tomorrow. Any questions you have on Tennessee basketball and its NCAA tournament draw from the SEC tournament, Tennessee football, spring practice around the corner, recruiting, Tennessee baseball is happening right now. SEC play is beginning this coming up weekend for Tennessee baseball. So a lot to get into. If you have any questions, at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. All right, so we want to hit every single position group before spring practice begins. Spring practice begins next week. So we've been making our way through the offense. We've talked receivers, offensive line. We've talked running backs and tight ends. Let's go ahead and finish off the offensive side of the football with the quarterbacks before we make our way to the defensive side of the football. And obviously this year you have no Hendon Hooker. So when we're talking about Tennessee's offense and Josh Heupel's offense and the Biletnikoff Award winners and top 10 offenses and number one scoring offenses and all that, that is all great, but you don't have Hendon Hooker now. Hendon Hooker's been that guy that's been making it all happen at the quarterback position. And I think a lot of this can be attributed to a good system for Josh Heupel, who schemes things up and makes it work. But also, you've got to be smart to be quarterback of this offense. You've got to be able to process information at an extremely fast clip. That's something Joey Halsley said in his first media appearance back when Josh Heupel and his staff were hired in the winter of 2021. It's, are we looking for the guy with the strongest arm? Are we looking for a guy that's super mobile? Are we looking for a guy that's, can make all the throws? Well, all the above, sure, but more than anything, you're looking for a guy that can process information at a fast clip because you are operating an offense and an up-tempo scheme. So that's the most important thing, and that's why I think Joe Milton is going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference this year. Is Joe Milton Hendon Hooker? No, he's not. Joe Milton's Joe Milton. He's his own guy. Bazooka Joe, Overthrow Joe, whatever we want to call him, right? I do feel like he has improved. I've said this time in and time out back when we kind of were going over those pre-spring position rankings. And, Joe Milton was ranked by, I believe it was On Three, yeah, like number four in the conference. And I said that's probably about right because I don't want to go too high. But also, he's shown a lot more than some other guys on this list. But also, he's shown the ability to improve. It's been limited time. Mop-up duties in 2022, but also the Orange Bowl, also the Vanderbilt game. He showed the ability to take coaching and improve running this offense. And that's something that I really like and something that I saw from Joe Milton in the 2022 season. Because in 2021, he came to Tennessee and he had those fall camp practices, and then it was go time. He was handed the keys and he was ready to go, and it didn't look all that great. Keep in mind, he has been on this football team going through practices every day for the 21 season, for the 22 season, and now we're coming up on the 23 season. And let's see what he's got. He's about to be a 3-year quarterback in the system. And I think that's really, really going to help him. But no doubt about it. I mean, in two seasons with Josh Heupel, Hendon Hooker completed 69% of his passes for 6,080 yards, 58 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on 632 attempts. That is Heisman worthy numbers. Excuse me. No doubt about it. That is going to be tough to replace. So Joe Milton has got his work cut out for him. I think Joe Milton will be a guy that can excel. I think that he's going to use a smart stop right this offense. I think that he can make all the throws. But I do think, as always, a solid run game is going to have to kind of help him. Who else is in this room outside of Joe Milton? Well, the name that you're probably just wanting me to say and probably I should have let off with, right? It's Nico Iamaleava. Nico, 6'6", 205 pounds. And, boy, he's got a lot of work to do to put on some weight, in my opinion. A 5-star quarterback, the number one player in the country, according to the On3 rankings. And I think that he is going to be a really good quarterback in this system. I think this is going to be a big spring for Nico Iamaleava to learn, to soak up, to get live reps. Like, I know Dennis Dodd did his top 25 things, 25 list of things for quarterback offseason content, yada, yada. We all have that offseason content, right? And one of his bullet points was like, yeah, Nico Iamaleava, already hearing whispers of the $8 million man. He's not worth the money, yada, yada, yada. I mean, again, it is what it is, but like Nico is not taking a true rep whatsoever. So I don't know how anybody, I'm not just singling out Dennis Dodd, but just anybody can make an accusation like that right now on any freshman because they haven't taken a true rep. Sure, some of these guys were here for bowl practices, but that, again, that does not mean they were taking a true rep in the offense or the defense. They were doing scout teams or they were just, doing routes on air or whatever. I'm talking true rep, 11 on 11, best on best with offense 1, 2, or 3. That hasn't happened yet. So it will happen in spring. Quarterbacks are going to have those red jerseys on. You don't need to hit them, of course, but that's going to happen in the spring here for Nico and for everybody else. So I'm intrigued to see what the reports are, what the talk is, kind of what the vibe is revolving around Nico Iamaleava this spring. I do not think it's in Tennessee's best interest or Nico's best interest to be the starting quarterback week one. I don't believe that should be the case. Now, if Joe's not getting the job done and there needs to be somebody else in there, then absolutely. But I think Joe's going to be all right. I think Joe's going to be the commander in chief of this offense. I think he's going to be able to roll. And unless there's an injury, I don't think Nico should play, to be completely honest. Who else is in this quarterback's room? You got Joe Milton, you got Nico Iamaleava. Well, you have redshirt junior quarterback, 6'2", 210 pounds, Gaston Moore, who, again, has been in this offense. He'll be almost a fourth-year guy in this offense, right? A 4-year quarterback in this offense because he followed Josh Heupel from UCF. And I think that he's going to be the third quarterback on this roster because I think it's going to be very difficult to try to get a transfer to come in. Taven Jackson left the program. We knew about that, and so entered the transfer portal. I think it's going to be really difficult to try to get a quarterback via the transfer portal to come in here and know you're going to be behind Joe Milton and Nico Iamaleava from the get-go, right? It's kind of like, what's the point? So I think Gaston Moore is going to be your number 3 quarterback, and he was your backup quarterback for the Vanderbilt game. He was your backup quarterback for the Orange Bowl. He was a snap away, a popped helmet off away from going in there and playing. And again, he's got a pretty good arm. He's got a really, really good arm, and he knows the system. He's been in the system for a long time, and I think that is a good guy to have on your bench, especially to kind of help Nico Iamaleava out. There's also Navy Schuler, who's on this roster. He came in via the transfer portal from Appalachian State prior to last season. He is the son of former NFL number 3 overall pick back in 1994, I believe, and of course Tennessee legend Heath Schuler. But Navy Schuler is a redshirt junior, 6 foot, 210 pounds, and he is also in this room. So, quarterback room, you don't feel set. I made the comment last offseason that this is the first time since Josh Dobbs is in the program where there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You know exactly who your quarterback is. And I still feel like that for the most part because I think it's going to be Joe Milton. I know that they said, Joey Halsley said a couple times during the Orange Bowl week that there's going to be a full-fledged quarterback competition in the spring and for fall camp. That's great to say, all right, but we know it's going to be Joe, and that's pretty much what they want. It's pretty much what they know, they just can't say, right, if you know what I'm saying. So, hey, I'll say it. So, you know, we'll see exactly what happens, but it's going to be a good time. Spring practice begins week after this week, March the 20th, and really looking forward to seeing some of these newcomers, these freshmen, these early enrollees, these transfers, these veterans. It's always an exciting time when football is back and something to truly talk about, not just looking ahead and list season and all that, but something that we get eyes on, we can talk about something that we've seen and how they're performing and some comments from the coaches. So that's a whole lot of fun. All right, we will take a look at the defense the rest of the week. We'll start off with probably that defensive line tomorrow, so looking forward to that. But if you have any questions on anything Tennessee football related, Tennessee football recruiting, Tennessee baseball, Tennessee basketball, it's draw the NCAA tournament, whatever you guys have, hit us up on Mailbag Show Twitter Tuesday. That is tomorrow, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. Fill up these comment section. On the YouTube channel on this video, just hashtag it Twitter Tuesday. Let me know any of your questions that you may have. Can't thank you enough for listening and making this your first listen and watching every single day. And really, really do appreciate it. Make Locked On College Basketball your second listen. It's the best time of the year, guys. It's a fun time of the year. We know all about it. It is March Madness. NCAA tournament starts this week. We know where Tennessee's going. We know who Tennessee's playing. Listen to Locked On College Basketball to get some Vols news and, of course, all news around college basketball. Make that your second listen right behind Locked On Vols. All right, guys, same time, same place. We'll try again tomorrow. This is Locked On Vols.